Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
So the ball's out to the 30-yard line, and we will see the first snaps in a Bears uniform for the first number one overall pick in a Chicago Bears jersey since 1947. This is the 2022 Heisman winner at USC and Caleb Williams.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Robbie Triano getting me fired up over there on the other side of the glass with the music, with the highlights. Oh, buddy, I'm with you for one more hour. I was asking before the break if somebody out there could tell me what is impressive about Matt Eberflus. Please let me know at 312-644-6767, whether you shoot me a text or give me a call. Lots of y'all waiting on hold, and I'm going to get to you, and hopefully you can make me feel better about the Bears head coach in just a little bit. But first, we're going to talk with senior NFL.com columnist and on-air talent for NFL.com. You can find him on Twitter at Jeffrey Chedia. It is, coincidentally enough, Jeffrey Chedia. Jeff, how are you this afternoon, my man?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, man?
Good. What were your first impressions of Caleb Williams? I was very impressed. I started the show playing the Super Bowl shuffle and saying, let's fit him for the gold jacket. Am I getting carried away, Jeffrey?
I wouldn't go that far okay. Just yet, but like you, I was pretty impressed by what I saw. I mean, for four completions, a long way to go here, but you had to look, the confidence was there. The poise was there. The athleticism, you know, the accuracy, all the things that you heard about him coming out, the improvisation. And so, yeah, for that little brief moment in time in a preseason game, he showed why people in Chicago should be excited about him. And again, I think that it's not just his talent and his mindset. I think it's just the way they've built this team around him, that he knows he can do certain things and he'll have success if he plays within himself. And that's what I saw him do.
Yeah, and I think that's the key right there, Jeffrey, is what they've put around him, because as much as he's been hyped up and as good as he was in college, and obviously all the physical abilities and natural talents that he has, I'm not going to put it on a rookie QB to win football games. I want this team to win football games. I expect this team to win football games, but it's going to be because they had better coaching and a better roster around the quarterback, plus a slightly better quarterback than what they've had before. But he's still a rookie, and I expect growing pains, and I expect rookie type of mistakes throughout the season.
No doubt. Look, I live in Kansas City, and they've been on a great run here. The Chiefs have with Patrick Mahomes and three Super Bowls in 5 years. And I always have to argue with people about this. I'm telling you, it's like, as great as he is, not winning the championship last year, without a great defense. They're not winning the first one without a better and improved defense, without Tyreek Hill making play, without Travis Kelce. All these things we want to put on quarterbacks, I've never seen a great quarterback not have a great team around him. And so that is what I appreciate about what the Bears are doing. And I think he's a smart enough guy. You know, I was in Chicago a couple weeks ago and you saw him at the podium. There is some swagger to him and some, what's the right word? And it's beyond confidence, but it's a comfort level with who he is and what he can accomplish, that if he can translate that to the field every week with the mistakes, they're going to be a good team.
Yeah, I said that. We had Jim Miller on earlier in the show, former Bears QB, now an NFL analyst himself for SiriusXM NFL Radio. And I said to him that calm, that poise, that confidence that we saw off the field under all the bright lights and the expectations that come with being the number one pick, that kind of showed itself on the field when you saw him under pressure, you know, physically from rushers from the other team, still being able to sort of keep his wits about him and have that presence of mind to make the right play, even if that right play is just throwing it out of the end zone.
Yeah, you know, I know everybody points to probably the bootleg play, the throw he made to Cole Kmet on the sideline, which was a phenomenal play. But I thought just the way he executed that screen to DeAndre Swift, and he got bodies flying around you, and he kind of flipped it like almost like a no-look pass type deal. But he just, the belief and the comfort again in that situation, it led to a huge play. And I wrote about this when I was out there, just, you know, knowing that those guys you're giving the ball to can make plays for you is huge. And I'll go back to Mahomes again in his first year. Everybody remembers the big numbers he puts up. They often forget he's running to the sideline, throws the ball down the field. Tyreek Hill makes a great play. You know, they forget that kind of stuff. And you have to have great players around young quarterbacks for it to work. I even think the running game is underestimated, because I think you look at every great quarterback who's had success early, they usually had a pretty good run game to go with them.
Mm-hmm. Talking with Jeffrey Chedia of NFL.com and NFL Network here on 670 The Score. As you said, you're based out of Kansas City. You've had an up-close view of what Patrick Mahomes and that football team has done. You hear the comparisons, and I don't know how much of it is just Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league right now, so every you know, phenom that comes out of college is going to be the next Patrick Mahomes, the way that before Patrick Mahomes, everybody was the next Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean? I don't know how much of it is that or how much of there are just similarities there, but you hear the comparisons. How fair or not fair is that when you hear the comparisons between Caleb Williams and Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I always think it's unfair when you're comparing a first-year player to a guy who's, you know, won championships, been multiple All-Pro, was, you know, on his way to Canton. But I do think that, look, Ryan Poles, the general manager, was part of the Chiefs. He understands what they did to make Patrick Mahomes play well. Again, a lot of revisionist history here. Patrick Mahomes did not play his first year in the NFL. They brought him in. They worked on his footwork. They got him to understand how to play within the framework of the offense and still improvise. So that was a big part of his maturation process. What's more interesting about Caleb and what's more noteworthy is that he's starting from day one as the guy being thrown in. But I also feel like college football has affected the way we look at these guys and the way these guys come into the league now, because this is a quarterback who's gone through the NIL experience, who won a Heisman. Mahomes didn't win a Heisman. He's been in the bright lights of L.A. He transferred from Oklahoma to USC. He's done things where he's faced scrutiny, been in front of the media, and had to go through some difficult times last year when he didn't live up to the same hype as his junior year. And so I think that all that stuff has helped Caleb Williams be more prepared probably to play and do more things in his first year than Mahomes probably was.
You know, I've said, like, let's not get too carried away and put too high of expectations on this kid. I don't need him to have the greatest season that a quarterback has ever had. I don't need him to even have the greatest season that a Bears quarterback has ever had, because, you know, Jay Cutler had one or two good seasons, and then there was well, that's pretty much it, unless you want to go back to Sid Luckman. But I do think it's fair to say he could have the best rookie season that a Bears quarterback has ever had. Is that fair given the history and what we're looking at? Would you look at Bears history at quarterback?
Yeah, yeah. I think, like, I'd go a step further so he could have, the best season that a Bears quarterback could have. This will be the best offense, I will guarantee you that, the Bears have ever had in franchise history based on what they have on paper and his potential. And I agree with you about he doesn't have to set the world on fire. I always think back to something Carson Palmer told me when he was starting with the Bengals as a first-round pick, another USC guy, and he said somebody told him, like, the most important thing you gotta understand is the 1-1. Don't come in and try to play like that. Don't come in and try to prove why you were picked that way. Mm-hmm. Like, it happened. That was your draft slot. That's great. But now you got to go off and be a professional, prepare yourself, and go off and make the plays, deal with the mistakes. And so if Caleb Williams is there, and it seems like, again, I'm not around the kid every day. I'm just going off what I've seen and what I've heard. It seems like he's got the right frame of mind to deal with that stuff. And in a town like Chicago, I feel like you have to have a little bit of swagger to you. You know, a little bit of, like, you know, watch me, I'll show you what I can do. Not just be a guy who wants to just come in and get by, but somebody who wants to be a star.
Talking with Jeffrey Chedia of NFL.com and NFL Network here on 670 The Score. I always say that a quarterback's best friend is a good defense. You know, the fewer points that you need to score to win games, the less weight there is on your back as a quarterback, especially as a rookie quarterback. How much of what we saw in the second half of last year from that defense do you think was legit and that they can carry into and build on here in 2024?
I like what they've done. You know, again, like Jalen Johnson and Montez Sweat, Tremaine Edmonds, these guys are legit players. And when I was in training camp, I was talking to somebody on the team and they made a pretty profound comment. They said, look, when we look out on the field now, we see names. We don't just see, bodies or hope this guy can play. You're seeing guys who have done big things in the NFL, guys who have played in big situations, been in playoff games. And so I think that matters to what you become. And, I heard your opening segment talking about Matt Eberflus. And, I always said the heat on him was making sure the defense was better because that's supposed to be his that's where he makes his hay. And so it's encouraging that they got better. I think they'll be even better if they're able to play with leads and be able to let the pass rush get after people and that secondary get after people. And so I like where they're going.
And my thing with Matt Eberflus, you caught just a little snippet of it, just to give you more context. I think he seems like a great dude. Like, and so I'm rooting for him for that reason. And also he's the head coach of the football team that I root for. And so I want him to succeed and for them to succeed. And this was sort of confirmed for me with the behind the scenes inside look of Hard Knocks. He doesn't, like, it's just not there for me with him. And what when I say there, I mean, there's not anything that wows me or impresses me. And I used Sean McVay as an example of where his football knowledge and his smarts really are off the page, and I'm amazed by him when I see him in interviews. Or if it's a Dan Campbell, where his motivational ability is and leadership ability is kind of off the charts, and I'm wowed when I see him. There isn't anything particularly about Matt Eberflus that wows me or impresses me. Jeffrey, am I missing something from your experience and what you've seen of him?
No, I think that you're right. And to be honest with you, that's the way most defensive coaches come across. If for whatever reason, the offensive guys seem to have a little more showmanship to them, a little more charisma. You mentioned McVay, and I think about, Mike McDaniel or Nick Sirianni, people like that who are just kind of, they're just, when they get in front of a camera and or even in the room, they just know how to work it to a certain extent. And I think Eberflus is more like a defensive. He reminds me a lot of Sean McDermott, and that Sean McDermott is a guy who's got a great talent at quarterback and Josh Allen, and he's done really good things, but it's like he doesn't really blow you away. And that's really the only question I have about Matt Eberflus as they go deeper into this world where you've got all this offensive talent, you've got Caleb Williams. I think it's always a challenge in today's world to have a defensive-minded head coach with a superstar type quarterback. I mean, most of the teams you see being highly successful, the head coach is offensive minded and the quarterback is pretty talented. And so that's really going to be where, we find out how this works.
Last one for you, Jeffrey Chedia of NFL.com and NFL Network. My guest, follow him on Twitter at Jeffrey Chedia. I've set the bar at 9 wins for a season that I'll be satisfied with. I'm not asking you for a prediction that I'm going to pin you to or anything like that, Jeffrey, or freezing cold takes you when the season is over, you know. But is 9 wins a fair bar to set for Matt Eberflus and this team, where if they fall short, and, you know, injuries can play a factor and a lot of other things that are beyond your control, but is that a fair bar to set for what I'll be happy and satisfied with in year one of the Caleb Williams era?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I mean, they're a playoff team in my mind. They're not going to win the division. I think Detroit and Green Bay are still better overall and a little more experienced. But I certainly expect them to be above 500 and competing for a playoff spot. The NFC is not that deep. And so it wouldn't surprise me if you saw two teams from the NFC North making it as wild cards, either Green Bay or Detroit and Chicago, because that's where they're at. I mean, their trajectory, I think, should be where Detroit was a couple of years ago when they finished 9-8, and where Houston was last year, where they ended up winning the division and going to the playoffs and having a 10-7 record. I mean, this team has everything you need to be a winning team.
I know I said the last one was the last one, but I lied. Is the NFC North the most intriguing division to you? Is it the most interesting division when
you look at?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting division, man.
Yeah, well, and I think so. You know, look, I love the AFC North. It's always going to be a bloodbath there, but I think you look at every team in the division. You know, Jared Goff is the elder statesman at quarterback, but you got three teams that have young quarterbacks that are going to grow into something. Their offenses are very similar. They all have a lot of really good high-powered receivers and shifty running backs who can catch the football. You know, I think they're all kind of defensively. Obviously Chicago is got talent. Green Bay is emerging there. Detroit's doing some things. Minnesota is probably the worst. Is probably easily the worst team in the division. And they could be a 9-8 team. So yep. I think it's going to be a very intriguing year for this division.
That's Jeffrey Chedia. Check out his work at NFL.com or on NFL Network and on Twitter at Jeffrey Chedia. Really appreciate the time and the insight, Jeffrey. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, man.
And he joins me on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. All right. I need to know. And again, I want to approach this from a positive angle, as I am trying to do heading into this Bears season. And a lot of positive, a lot of good about them. And I'm excited. I'm hyped up. The one thing that sort of tampers that down a little bit is the head coach and Matt Eberflus. I don't see anything that impresses or wows me. And I'm going to keep an open mind. I'm keeping an open mind for you to tell me what it is, if anything, that you see that impresses or wows you. I can put that in the old calculator and feel a lot better about the head coach and this Bears team. 312-644-6767. I want to hear from you next right here on 670 The Score.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It was a good call by the whoever this coordinator was. That would be me. You know, that Tez factor that I called the other day, or that Tez effect. So I apologize for being late. I was just upstairs with Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Let's go, man.
He's a 1+1=3 guy.
Here's Richard Hightower, HMAC.
Did we see what was up your sleeve? Did you use it? Or
I don't know. What's up yours?
We're back live with more Rami McLaugh on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me, and that was Bears head coach Matt Eberflus, who I like on a personal level. Seems like a nice guy, you know? Fun guy to hang out with, maybe? I'd go to one of his pool parties if I was invited. I don't think I will be after today's show, because just as an NFL head coach, I was saying I just don't see it there with him. And I could be wrong. I might be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, and he has a chance this year to prove it to me. He hasn't had the cards stacked in the deck stacked in his favor. Is that the right expression? Who knows? He hasn't had the deck stacked in his favor the first couple of years as the Bears head coach. He hasn't really had a chance to win football games. So maybe he hasn't had a chance to wow or impress me. But I watched Hard Knocks and I saw him trying to motivate his team, and I was bored. I was bored by the way that he motivated his team.
I think the word to describe him, he's like a goober. He's just like a goober.
That's a great word to describe
him.
He's
like a dork. But if he wins, we're gonna forget everything and we're gonna think he's the best
goober
in the world.
Yeah. He might be a great goober. But I don't see it. That's the one thing that holds my Bears enthusiasm back, and I want you to tell me, so I can be even more excited about this team than I am right now, what is it about Matt Eberflus that wows or impresses you? And I'm going to keep an open mind, and maybe you can convince me that there's something there that I just don't see. Let's go to Terry in the South Side. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Terry? Okay, put Terry on hold, and let's go to Aaron in Chicago. Aaron, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, man?
Okay, so here's the thing about Flus, and it's not exciting, okay? But I want you to think about your boss for a minute.
Okay.
Only in football do we think about, we need our bosses to be inspiring. Most of us just want our bosses to be good organizers and not get out of the way of the good work we're doing. So here's the thing. Everybody seems to be on board that says that Poles is doing the right thing, right? Because he's bringing in players who are motivated and talented, and he seems organized. And everyone seems to also speak to Poles and Eberflus being on the same team about what they're trying to achieve. And so it occurs to me maybe what his superpower is, it's not exciting, but he's a good organizer. And if you think about this, how many guys have been put in the position of being head coach in the NFL because they could call plays? They were an offensive genius. They were a defensive genius. But they failed at being a head coach. And it's possible because in their new role, they can't organize. So even though it's not exciting, sometimes it's not so much about it being the head coach that needs to be the source of everything, but someone who gets out of the way of the stuff that works. Keep this in mind about Dan Campbell, by the way. Everybody thought the opening press conference spelled the end of Detroit, and it wasn't until 3 or 4 years later when that roster improved in its talent that people think about him as being a motivational genius, but then when he goes for it on fourth down when he shouldn't, everyone's like, well, maybe Dan Campbell's pushing too hard. So this was the coach getting in the way of the team's success. So maybe Eberflus has got a good partner in Poles. Poles came from Andy Reid. If Andy Reid wasn't turning out fantastic offenses all the time, if you just judged him by his press conferences, you would say, who is this quiet dude that apparently, by all means, is really good at creating head coaches, and that tells me that he's a good boss.
No, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Good head coaches are very organized and good delegators, more times than not. Those are two traits, not just head coaches, but good leaders. And like he said, our boss here, very good at both of those things, very good in both of those areas, both bosses that we have, Mitch Rosen and Ryan Porth. And I'm not just...
Yeah, bonus is coming in the mail.
I'm not just kissing ass. I'm kissing ass, but I'm not just kissing ass. Those things happen to be true. So maybe that's... And that's not something that would pop off the page. If those are his strengths, organizing and delegating... Those aren't things that would pop off the page. So maybe those are his strengths. Maybe that's what should be wowing me about Matt Eberflus. Counterpoint, he hired an offensive and defensive coordinator that both had to be let go last season. One, because he just wasn't very good at his job. And the other, for reasons we still don't know. Like, he picked those guys. You know what I mean? So if we're talking about organizing and delegating... Those are marks against him, are they not? Not that doesn't mean that he's bad at those things. I'm just saying nobody's 100% at anything, but those would be marks against him if we're talking about organizing and delegating who his coordinators were last year, the first 2 years of his tenure as Chicago Bears head coach. He was saying about Dan Campbell that opening press conference that he had was kind of. And I remember people laughing at it, and there were laughs to be had. Like, when you're talking about biting kneecaps, like, there are laughs to be had. But Robbie Triano, my producer on the show today, you disclosed early in the show, on your own free will, nobody made you do this.
Right.
You admitted that you're a Lions fan. What was the reception amongst Lions fans and in Detroit of that opening press conference by Dan Campbell?
So to give some context as well, we were coming from Matt Patricia. And at that point, oof. Matt Patricia was maybe the worst head coach I've ever had in my life.
So, I forgot about him. I seriously did.
I tried to as well. A couple of Bud Lights and I'm just out of my... Yeah, so with him, that was like a, oh, hell yeah, type of moment. Like, we got someone that gets us, blue-collar person in Detroit. At first, we were like, this is funny, but we have a psychopath as our head coach.
Right, yeah.
And he turns out to be an amazing psychopath. So thank you, Dan Campbell, if you're somehow listening to 670 The Score here in Chicago. I love you very much.
But was there some reservation? Like, oh, this guy's maybe crazy.
Oh, 100%.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, we were all like, okay, we have a psychopath.
There's like good psychopath, and there's like, oh, he's just not all there.
Right, and he never had any head coaching experience, so this was like the first time he was in front of a microphone. So we were like, oh my God, who is this man?
Okay, so what wows you? What really impresses you about Matt Eberflus? Help me. Help me be even more excited and alleviate the one major concern I have about not just this year, but the Bears' grand plan. What is the one thing that wows or impresses you about this coach? 312-644-6767. I should say the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's go to Keith in New Buffalo. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Keith?
So I was listening to your argument about Flus, and again, I'm going to be 62, so I've got a little bit of Bear experience. Okay. I've been a season ticket holder for decades, and I just want to give you, I think, several points that you're not hitting. First off, I don't want to put him on a par with Halas or Lombardi just yet, okay? But when this guy got here, number one, Newt Rockne couldn't have done anything with that team the first year. It was a total rebuild. There was no talent on that team. They tore the whole thing down. When the Bears hired him, to your point, I went on and did a deep dive on this guy. This guy played in the MAC conference, and he was a stud. This guy is one of the greatest underachieving players. He set records for tackles. He had games where he had 25 tackles, butt kiss stuff. And if you look at him, he doesn't have some incredible physique. He doesn't have a body like Butkus. So this guy was pure heart. To the point where you tell me how many guys would like to have Nick Saban come and talk to their team, and Nick Saban would accommodate them and show up. So I think that's a testament. I think his hits program
good point.
Is fabulous. And let's not forget, we just got rid of the most prolific fumbling quarterback in the history of the NFL, and that's not hyperbole. Dave Krieg of Seattle used to have that record, and he averaged about a fumble 7 out of 10 games. Justin Fields fumbled a fumble a game. And by the way, just the last game, 2 days ago or whatever, yesterday, he did it again. 2 fumbles, 2 sacks. He single-handedly lost the game against the Lions, Cleveland, and Denver. Those weren't on the defense. That was Justin Fields, who, by the way, had the worst fourth quarter QBR in the NFL by, I believe, 20 or 30 QBR points. He wasn't bad. He was horrific. And now if we can, and by the way, I was rooting for the guy. He's a great athlete. He's the Bobby Douglas of his generation. Both could run, but neither one could play quarterback.
Keith, I appreciate the call. Justin Fields, yeah, he fumbled a lot. But when you look at the grand scheme of how much he turned the ball over, because he didn't throw a lot of interceptions, especially his last year with the Bears. But if we want to talk about Cleveland, Denver, and Detroit and blowing those games, I'm terrible at multitasking and pulling things up while I'm talking. But if I'm not mistaken, those were three games where the Bears' offense scored as many points as they did all season. Those were all games where they scored, I want to say, 30 plus points, which did not happen very often for that offense. And it was bad decisions. Look, I'm not going to say that Justin Fields didn't play badly late in those games and did things to help them lose those games. But Matt Eberflus made bad late game decisions in the fourth quarter of all three of those games that cost the Bears wins. Am I right about that, Robbie? How many points did they score in those three losses?
So in the Detroit game, they lost 31-26. In the Cleveland loss, they lost 20-17. And what was the third game?
Denver.
Denver, 31-28 they lost. So 28 points, 26 points, and 17 points.
Okay. The 17 points I was wrong about. I'll admit that. I was going off of memory there. But two of those three games, look, man, I have this equation. I call it the Maklof theorem. I've been in a few different radio stations, and I bring it to the table at every one I go to. And it's really high-level stuff.
This sounds like a scientific theory.
Yeah. Get out a pen and paper and write this down, all right? The more points you score, the more points you can allow and still win football games. The fewer points you allow, the fewer points you need to score and still win football games. Robbie's doing the math over there. I'm right about that, right? Did you double check it, Robbie? Is that right?
I double checked the math, and yes, you are.
The Maklof theory, the Maklof theorem is accurate.
This is very sound.
Yes, and so I look at an offense that scores 28 or 30 plus points, and I go that you should win that football game. Like the Maklof theorem says you should win that football game. And when Matt Eberflus does dumb stuff late in those games that ends up costing you wins, that makes me feel not so great about the head coaching position. And again, the last caller was right. I apologize. I forgot your name. When you say that, you know, he was put behind the eight ball. He wasn't put in position to win. Justin Fields in a lot of ways didn't help him. All true, all accurate. But along the way, he could have done a few things that made me go, oh, wow, okay. We're not going to win football games because it's a bad team, but I see what Ryan Poles and the Bears see with that guy. Like, that was not impossible for Matt Eberflus to accomplish, to make me and other Bears fans go, oh, okay. Okay, that's why he's the head coach. Yeah, we're not going to win 10 games or 11 games this year, but when we get the quarterback and they stockpile this roster the way that they did this offseason, like this team is going to be ready to win. They have the guy at the head coach position. I personally don't see it. Ron, you're in Chicago. Now you're on 670 The Score. What's up, Ron?
Rami, how you doing? Hey, how are you?
Good.
I personally think, man, are you reaching that far? Are you really reaching that far that this is a segment? All the things to talk about. You want to talk about Matt Eberflus not wowing you. I don't want my head coach to wow me on that camera.
No, I'm saying he could do it in a number of ways. Andy Reid wows me with the offenses that he draws up. He's not that great in press conferences. I'm saying in some way, play calling, what you do at a podium, what you do in some way, something impress me, wow me. I like to see that from my coaches across the board in any sport.
No, you're talking more about his skill set with the defense and if he's a good coach or not. I'll tell you why he's going to be a great coach. I think he's a great coach. By the fifth week, from taking over from week two to week five, by the fifth week, this defense became more disciplined. They control their gaps. They're playing much, much better. And they had them being a top five defense by the end of the year. That's not being a great coach in midseason. What is?
And again, like I said, I appreciate the call. I'm not giving him credit for the defensive improvement. Look, man, a lot of guys in this business won't say, I don't know. They don't like to say those three words. They want you to think they know everything. A lot of guys would come on here and go, yeah, that was Matt Eberflus. That's why they got better. It was Matt Eberflus. There's some guys would come on here and go, no, it was Montez Sweat, and it was the guys coming back from injury. I'm telling you, first of all, it's probably a mix of the two. And secondly, I'm not afraid to say, I don't know. I don't know how much of it was Matt Eberflus and his defensive genius. And I don't know how much of it was the acquisition of Montez Sweat and getting guys back from injury. I'm not saying he didn't do that. I'm saying I don't know. I don't know if he got more out of these guys than another coach would, because it coincided with them acquiring one of the best pass rushers in the league and guys coming back from injury. That certainly played a factor. I can't even put a percentage on it. I can't say it was 70% Matt Eberflus's coaching and 30% personnel or the opposite. I'm saying I don't know. If this defense has, and by the way, that was only half a season. We're ready to crown this guy genius because of half a season? If this Bears team puts up the Bears defense puts up an impressive 17 games. I had a text here from, let me see if I can, a lot of people hating me in the text. You guys are mean. From the 312, did Lovey wow you? A little bit more in terms of personality than Matt Eberflus did, but again, not a dynamic personality, not like a rah-rah motivational type of guy. You know what impressed me about Lovey Smith? Those defenses were freaking great, man. Those defenses were amazing. Yeah, if Matt Eberflus has those types of defenses, he can be the most boring interview and the most boring press conference in the NFL. And I won't care. If you're winning football games and the defense is that good, I'll be like, that's what wows me. That's what impresses me about that guy. Same way I did with Lovie Smith. But he's had nine good games, something like that. They lost 14 straight games with this guy, man, and gave up 25 or more points in every one of those 14 straight losses. I think I have those numbers right. As a defensive coach, they didn't win a game for almost a calendar year and were giving up 24-plus points in every game. And then he has 9 weeks after he gets Montez Sweat and a bunch of guys back from injury, and I'm supposed to call this guy like Bill Belichick? What are we doing here?
And a haircut. Don't forget.
He got a haircut.
He got a haircut.
He's got the Riz.
He got a good one, too. A really good one.
He's got the Riz. Let's go to Brian in Bridgeport. We'll squeeze you in before the break. What's up, Brian?
Hey there. Appreciate you having me on.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I do agree with everything you said about Flus. He doesn't exactly do it for me. He's boring. He's a little weird, and he's a goober, like you mentioned. Alternatively, I'm going to put my faith in Waldron. He gives me more hope as the guy to try to unlock Caleb and this offense than Flus does. Let Flus, you know, be the guy running the defense at a high level, give all the weird speeches, but I don't want Flus to have the keys to the Caleb Cadillac. I'm willing to roll the dice with Waldron. If Flus can be the guy to keep that defense humming, hand that off to Waldron on the offense and just keep your hands off the offense. I'm fine with that dynamic as far as the coaching goes. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good with that. I again, just like I am with Flus, with Waldron, and he has called plays before, but it's a lot of hope. You know what I mean? Like you really, coordinators always come with rave reviews when they get hired. That's how they got hired. They've succeeded every step along the way, every job along the way, but not every one of them continues to climb the ladder all the way to the top. Most of them hit a wall at some point and end up in a job or a role that they can't do. And then they go back down the ladder, or they just stay at the same rung on that ladder. With Waldron, and I like what I've heard from him, I liked what I saw in the first quarter of last night's preseason game with Caleb Williams at quarterback, but I hope he can continue to be as good as he has been in other places and continue to progress as a coach and make this football team better. But it's hope right now. Like, we didn't hire some guy who's, like, when they hired Mike Martz to be their offensive coordinator, it didn't work, but we could all go, look at this guy. Look at the numbers this guy's offenses have put up in the NFL. With Waldron, there's some stuff we can point to there and look at and go, yeah, that was good. I hope it can be even better. I got to hit a quick break, and we'll try and squeeze in a few more of you, wrap this thing up. What wows you? What impresses you about Matt Eberflus? What, if anything, am I missing? 312-644-6767. Rami Makhlouf with you for one more segment on a Sunday afternoon right here on The Score.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Bears training camp coverage here on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. And got to let you know, the Cubs, 670 The Score and Stand Up to Cancer are teaming up for Cubs for a Cure, a 24-hour radiothon hosted by Danny Parkins right here on The Score. Radiothon starts 10 a.m. this Thursday, August 15th, with 100% of the proceeds benefiting cancer research. If you or your company would like to get involved, email 670radiothon@gmail.com. That's 670radiothon@gmail.com. Danny starts this thing up at 10 a.m. this Thursday. Lots of reaction to the Matt Eberflus question I'm asking. What is it that impresses you or wows you about this guy? Lots of texts. Like I said, some of you are mean. 773 says, doing great job showing why you're on in a dead weekend slot. This is a good weekend slot. Sunday, noon to 3, baby. People are out and about. They're listening to Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Let's see here. I've noticed the media is very impressed with his I woke up like this grooming habits. But that was before the makeover. Yeah, it's shocking to me how many people, it seems, think the Bears hired a new head coach because he got a haircut and trimmed up his beard. You know what I mean? Like, the reaction to that has been, like, baffling to me. Like, good on him that you know, he cleaned himself up. I could probably use a little bit of that. I'm not going to lie, but it doesn't make him a better football coach. Like, we all understand this is the same guy, right? Not that he was a bad football coach. I don't know. I'm not saying he's a bad football coach. I'm saying I haven't seen it to this point, but it's wild to me how that has changed the perception of this dude, man.
He went from hot seat to, like, hey, he could be coach of the year just with one haircut. That's like inspiration for everybody at home. If you just want to, like, glow up a little bit, just get a haircut and everybody will love you.
This from the 630. Say, I agree. He comes across as boring. What would you have said about Bill Belichick before he won all the titles? He had absolutely zero personality. And that's honestly fair. That's a fair statement. And I talked with Jeffrey Chedia of the NFL Network before, and I was telling him essentially what I'm telling you about Matt Eberflus. And he said, he's a defensive guy. Like, that's how a lot of defensive guys are. That's the way that they present themselves. That's just kind of the cloth that they're cut from. And I said before, like, I wasn't necessarily impressed by anything outward about Lovie Smith per se. I thought he was a good leader, but not like, I wasn't like, wow, man, like, I want to run through a wall for that guy. It took him building those defenses and me going, oh, okay, yeah, that guy really knows what he's doing. So maybe with Matt Eberflus, like these other defensive guys, it's gonna take, because it's not so much outward, it's not in your face what's impressive about them or what they do great. it might take a little bit more time. Lovie Smith, it took time to win me over. I'm sure in New England, Bill Belichick, with his personality or lack thereof and his disheveled appearance, wasn't knocking people's socks off. You know what I mean? But when they saw what he could do, they're like, oh, okay. Like, this behind the scenes, this guy must be doing something, right? I don't know what it is. He's not doing it on camera, but this guy must be doing something right. Matt Eberflus could get to that point with me. That's why I'm sitting here saying, like, I haven't closed the book on Matt Eberflus. I'm not saying he's a terrible coach. And even if I thought he was a bad coach, I wouldn't even say I know I'm right about that. I'm saying I don't. To this point, we haven't gotten a great idea of who he is as a coach, because this team wasn't set up to win for a long time, and the outward in your face type of stuff about a coach, not a lot of it wows me or impresses me. I heard Parkins and Spiegel, no, maybe it might have been Bernstein and Holmes. It was one of the two, and they were talking about how, oh no, it was Bernstein and Holmes, about how, like, the way Bears dialogue has kind of changed this offseason. And if you're not being positive about them, then you're like, there's a lot of pushback on that. Like, you're not, and I'm very positive about them, but if you're not positive about one specific aspect of the Bears, there's a lot of pushback about that. Man, this thing looks good. This thing looks real good right now. I'm as excited and optimistic as a Bears fan as I've been in a long time. But some of y'all aren't looking at this and going, how could it go wrong? You know what I mean? And not sarcastically going, how could it go wrong? I mean, genuinely looking at it after what we've all witnessed and experienced over years and years and years as Bears fans, and go, what might be the wrench in this whole thing? I find myself asking that, and to me, the number one thing might be the head coach. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not even making a definitive statement that he's a bad head coach. I'm saying that might be the one thing. Everything else looks great on paper. That's the one thing that I look at and I go, I don't know. He hasn't done a ton to knock my socks off. Can I squeeze in one more call? Let's go to Thaddeus on the south side. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Thaddeus?
Hey, what's up, man? Yeah. Hey, I just want to say, okay, Flutes was a rookie head coach, okay, but one thing that kind of wows me about him, how he can manage the egos, okay? You know, you got a lot of different egos. I mean, it's a well-oiled machine. Only thing he has to do is manage those egos. I trust in Poles more, because Poles has a backup plan for Eberflus, and he has a black backup plan for Shane Waldron. This is a well-oiled machine. Flus, he could just kind of stay out the way in a way, but just manage those egos, because, man, the players was fighting for him, man. When they had that historic losing season, they still was rallying for that dude.
Yeah, I got to cut you off because we're going to wrap up the show, but I think you make a good point. And somebody on the text line said he didn't lose the team when they were 0-4. That's a mark in his favor, and that's true. He has kept this team focused, motivated. At least last year he did, at a time where, again, after losing 14 straight games, could have been real easy for them to check out on him and for the message to just not be hitting home with that dude. I hope he shows me something this year at a podium, on the field, something this year that makes me feel a lot better about this. And when he says Poles has a backup plan for Matt Eberflus, man, that's part of the problem. I don't want Caleb Williams to have another coach and another system in year two as the Bears quarterback. We've seen this movie before. I don't want to replay it. Thanks to Jim Miller, former NFL quarterback. Also, catch him on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Marquee Sports, and on the call for Bears preseason games on Fox. Tony Andracki, Cubs reporter for Marquee, and Jeffrey Chedia. Catch him on NFL.com and the NFL Network. Also, my thanks to producer Robbie Triano on the other side of the glass. Great job this afternoon. And all of y'all out there for listening and contributing. I am Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'll be back with you Thursday morning in for Mully and Haw.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.